Hello, hello. This is Fernando Fiore, El Presidente, and you are listening to the Mouths of the South podcast on DirtySouthTucker.com. Yole.
This is the Mouths of the South podcast. Matt Doyle joining us now on the Mouths of the South podcast.
And Alexi Lalas joins us right now,
bringing you the best coverage of Atlanta United FC. Paul Tenorio joining us now. Kristen Hennage on the Mouths of the South podcast.
The president of Atlanta United FC, Darren Eels.
Happy to have Doug Robertson on the Mouths of the South podcast, AJC writer for Atlanta United. The biggest names and exclusive interviews on the Mouths of the South podcast.
He'll do it again soon.
My pleasure.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate you having me on.
Let's go.
ATL, what is up? We are back. It's the Mouths of the South podcast right here on DirtySouthSoccer.com. Sam Franco, Eric Quintana, Jason Smith along with you. And we've got a jam-packed
action
episode. So yes, jam-packed, action-packed, whatever you want to call it. There is a lot of content, hashtag content, for us to get to today. And Atlanta United making moves, rumored moves, actual moves. Kenwin Jones finally made it to Atlanta. He put on the kid. He looked really good.
He went to a Hawks game.
He did go to a Hawks game. That's right. He was hanging out with Dominique Wilkins. So that was cool to see Kenwin and all the Snapchat stuff that Atlanta United was doing with him. And they also had the Boys and Girls Club, and they were playing some video games and stuff. So good stuff.
We didn't see him juggle, though. So, I mean,
he juggled with his head a little bit.
Almiron has him on that one.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But
I just committed a really bad soccer foul, and then I thought you meant like actual circus juggling.
Oh my gosh, are you serious?
I really did. I was like, oh wait, Kenwin can juggle? Like that's a crazy cool
fantastic
side talent.
Yes, but let's just be thankful that he can juggle with his feet. That's the one thing we want to see. But starting off today, there is a rumor that Greg Garza, former U.S. men's national team left back, currently with a club Tijuana, is inbound to Atlanta. And that would be a good signing because we've kind of seen some other, you know, rumors and stuff in terms of how they're going to build the defense. And I even saw one article where a guy was like, Atlanta should sign DeMarcus Beasley. And look, I love DeMarcus, but he is old in soccer world terms. And Garza, who's only 25 and a guy who, like I said, has played for the U.S. Men's National Team before, I think that would be a very good get and a kid who's pretty young and still has a lot in front of him.
Yeah, obviously a left back. He's actually pretty good with the ball, which kind of surprised. I don't know if his injury is what kept him out of the U.S. Men's National Team for the longest time. But discovery signing, so not an allocation thing, so we can still – Guzan is still on the board, for those of you wondering. Garza actually wanted back in MLS, and Tijuana was like, yeah, sure, we'll hook you up. So looks like it's going to be a loan to Atlanta United. This was initially reported by Ivis Galarsip of Goal.com and Soccer by Ivis, and I don't know what other things he's involved with. But yeah, he's got that ability to get forward. So I don't know if that'll be something Tata will try to utilize in 2017. But I am curious how much money is involved in this, because he I don't know. It's good to have you know, your left back and your right back kind of solidified. Yeah, honestly, the entire back line as solidified as you possibly can. But to throw big money at a left back just seems kind of to me. But we won't know. Well, we might hear rumors, but we won't know for sure what the number is in that loan and what else is involved in it. But I outside the money, I like the pick.
Can you make that sound again? What was that?
Maybe.
I think the more important thing here is that the back line is taking shape. And after all the money we saw thrown at the midfield, and we don't really know what Kenwin's worth, but presumably we brought him down with Tam and all that good stuff. The fact that we've got a Greg Garza, Zach Lloyd, I'm blanking on the
– Michael Parker.
Marker Parker. Michael Parkhurst, Bloom. We've got, who else we have? It just seems
Mikey
like
Ambrose.
Mikey Ambrose. It just seems like it's all taking shape now. And I mean, the fact that I'm losing track of who's on the team at this point is a very good sign in the timeline, if you will. Not saying these players make it or don't make it, but it is good that we have that solidified. We have that, or it's starting to become more solidified. It's starting to become more of a you know, it's starting to take shape a little more, and we're able to kind of finally put 11 players on the field and actually think, all right, this is a good team.
I think it's really interesting that we might have the starting U.S. men's national team left back on our team if we sign Greg Garza. Because
I'm starting to get concerned at how many national team players we're starting to pick up.
Yeah.
Is that concerning on us?
Yeah, it's sort of a trend we don't like.
Because at some point they're gonna leave, and with MLS not being so recently they've been a little more generous with their scheduling, but in the past they haven't. So yeah, teams have really struggled during those
international breaks. Yeah, playing soccer games.
But anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Jason.
Well, the only thing I was going to point out to that is just to say, look, Bruce Arena is talking about bringing in one DeMarcus Beasley to the January camps because we don't have any left backs, apparently. At some point, I feel like the great thing could be that Atlanta United lucks into not having to pay a great deal of money for a starting U.S. men's national team player, whereas, you know, there are quite a few MLS clubs out there that have thrown down a pretty penny to have have U.S. men's national team starters on their team. And Atlanta United may have just grabbed one on the cheap from Club Tijuana on loan without really even having to try all that hard. Mostly because Greg Garza is a quality left back, and there ain't a whole lot of those in the U.S. men's national team player pool.
Yeah, and so, you know, I think that if you can go out and get these guys, you know, obviously it's a great signing. But one thing that Yves Galarceff says in his article about
can you say his name again?
Did I say that wrong?
I hear it so many different ways, but when everyone gets his name wrong, it's just funny hearing the different ways people say it.
Is it okay, Ives?
I said
Earl Ives?
Yeah, Yves Galarceff.
That's so weird.
It's Ives?
Ives.
Isn't he from Peru?
I'm not sure where he's from. I know he's Hispanic.
Well, that's not the way you would pronounce that name. I'm sorry. I'm not going to tell somebody how to pronounce their own name.
Is his name like Timothy or something? Like, you know, like that.
Aaron.
Falake.
Galarceff is how you said that, right?
Ives Galarceff, yeah. Look, that's how he says it. I'm not going
to. Okay, well, again, yeah, I'm not going to tell somebody how to pronounce their own name, but that always used to tick me off. And my dad, it would send him through the roof when the Braves had that guy, Matt Diaz, which in what world?
Diaz.
That's what I'm saying. In what world is the name Diaz pronounced Diaz? And my dad would get so mad. We'd be sitting there watching Braves games, and, you know, my dad's from Ecuador, so they would say on the broadcast, they'd be like, Matt Diaz coming up, man. My dad would be like, no! It's Diaz. This is ridiculous.
I think the answer to that is Cobb County is the world in which that's something that happens.
That's true. It's also like Martinez, Georgia, down near Augusta. But anyway, not to get off on too much.
Yeah, go ahead with your point.
In his article, he was saying that Atlanta United also want to go after a top-notch defender, whatever that means. So I just got one thing to say, guys. John Terry coming.
No.
Boo.
No.
I'm kidding. Anyway, I really, really hope it happened.
Here's the one.
It would be terrible.
Here's the one thing that concerns me so far about this back line that we've, you know, thrown together a little bit. Greg Garza's 5'8". He's going to be a left back if he's here. Michael Parkhurst is 5'11", and looks 5'11" on the field. Zach Lloyd is 5'9". Who else? Is there anyone? Like, am I missing anyone that would definitely start?
I don't think so.
Okay, those are short guys. And Michael Parkhurst is not good in the air at all. He looks like garbage in the air. And so I don't know if that's just the – I spent the other day, because I had nothing else better to do, I spent the other day watching the first – and it was the first 7 or 10 games or whatever it was. It was up all the way up until the Kai Kamara nonsense. Watching those games and kind of just looking at Michael Parkhurst. Now, this was the condensed versions of the games, which give you every highlight – every, I think, created chance and everything above that. So goals, assists, all that stuff. And what I noticed was for Columbus and against Columbus. So what I noticed was that he, again, not great in the air. If there's anyone slightly taller than Michael Parkhurst, I'm sorry, Michael, but you're not very good in the air. I hope he's not listening because he seems like a cool dude, but he just does not. He's not great in the air.
What if this is like the first episode he listens to?
Yeah, he's never going to listen again.
I was going to say, way to have him never come on our podcast.
but other than that, he's a solid center back. And, you know, he gets in the right positions. He seems to, you know, up until the Kai Kamara incident, he seemed to captain the team very well from the back line. But still, there's that issue of height there that and aerial balls that, you know, could pose a problem if our center back is, you know, 6 foot, 6'1", or something like that. Even that would be fine. But I'm thinking Sean Ferguson of the Charleston Battery, who I think is either 6'3 or 6'4", and it's seemingly that's all he did with Charleston is just, you know, get rid of aerial balls in the box. So I don't know if that's someone – I know he didn't – I know Charleston didn't pick up his option, I think, for this year, which might mean he's coming to Atlanta, might be that he's going somewhere else. I don't know, but I always thought last year watching the Battery that I thought he might be a good center back, at least, you know, a good depth guy, and we'll see what happens. But I think the next guy's got to be tall.
Well, I think one thing that we do know is that once they decide on who these players will be and what this team is going to be once it's put together, we do know when they're going to be playing their first game in MLS.
Yeah, yeah.
March 5th at 7 p.m. live from Bobby Dodd Stadium on the campus of Georgia Tech.
Under the
Atlanta
lights,
United
man.
Will be taking on RBNY Red Bull New York. The Red Bulls will be coming into Atlanta for the first ever MLS game for Atlanta United. And I think that's a really good, nice marquee matchup to start things off. I applaud the league for putting that together as Atlanta United's first match, particularly because I know a lot of people thought that it would be Atlanta versus Minnesota as the first game to start the season. Atlanta would be taking on Minnesota in Minnesota's first home game. But I think for Atlanta, this is a really, really solid opponent and a really good first game to start things off.
I don't know if they're still going to be, you know, utilizing the high press that they usually, well, at least the last couple of years, I think they've used. It'll be fun if that's the case to see how well this team kind of navigates that. And if Villalba, I got to think Carlton might start that game, might play that game. Almiron, whoever else we might get, it'd be fun to see them in space and use their speed and be able to, you know, just break them down that way as opposed to, well, I don't know how else you'd break them down if they're high pressing like that, but, it'll be fun. It'll be, I'm hoping, very fluid attacking style soccer, honestly, both ways. And we can really see what Villalba and Almiron and Kenwin can do together as a team and whoever else they ended up picking up. It'll be fun to see how that works. Now, on the flip side, defensively, dealing with Sasha Kljestan and just the rest of the guys in the Red Bulls, it's going to be, especially that attacking front that they have, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, Bradley Wright Phillips scares me.
Yeah, he's no fun. he's no fun to deal with.
Even tactically, that's not a great matchup necessarily for Tata Martino's system. I mean, that's asking him to play a little more counterattacking style than he necessarily wants to. I mean, he tends to want to possess the ball and just play the ball at your feet from the back line all the way up to the, you know, the back of the net. Red Bulls are kind of built to disrupt that sort of stuff. So this is it, just on paper, it's going to matter a lot who they add. I mean, obviously it's going to matter who they add, but it's going to be a big deal to see how they fill out the rest of the starting lineup through free agency and through that third DP, because on paper right now, if, you know, Carlton's starting and Almiron and Villalba, it's like, yeah, I'd love to see them playing super counterattacking, just going end to end against the Red Bulls. That'd be incredible. I worry that it would be Chris McCann, Michael Parkhurst, and maybe Zach Lloyd just passing the ball for their very lives, you know, just trying to boom it upfield to get away from the press of Kljestan and Wright Phillips.
See, I just envision McCann just going, you know, bash bros on Sasha Kljestan.
Bash.
Right outside the box, just goes bash bro on Sasha Kljestan and, you know, everyone just goes crazy because he did something awesome. I don't know.
So McCann red card in the first game. That's what we're talking about.
No, I mean, I hope not. I'm just saying he's a physical guy. He knows what physicality is. He plays
awesome,
in a physical
that's
league.
Really what
and he just McCann game one, boom.
Let's ease into it. Let's give him a soft red, the two yellows. Let's not get him a straight red in game one. We'll save that for Orlando City or something like that.
Kleshin or Dax. I mean, either one. Just knock him over.
Against Minnesota, I'd definitely pay to see that.
Yeah, no, I like where y'all's head's at there. But that's going to be fun. I mean, it's going to be really fun now that you actually have that date, as that's going to be the day. It's going to be cold, so, you know, wear your long-sleeve Atlanta United gear for that one. You know, March 5th at 7 p.m., not going to be the warmest of atmospheres, but it's still going to be really fun, and we're still super excited about it. But
73 days!
That's right, 73 days. The team still has to be put together, and one thing that Atlanta United has missed out on, it looks like, is the signing of Oscar Romero, who looks like he's heading to China, where they're just throwing around insane amounts of money. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, before we get to Romero and his going to China, it's looking like Carlos Tevez is also going to China. And the article I read said they're going to pay him, and this is not a typo, this is not an exaggeration, $37.5 million a season.
Stupid money.
That makes him the world's most expensive player.
That's FU money.
Paid player. Like, for Carlos Tevez, look, I love El Apache. I love Carlos Tevez. He's one of my favorite players. But good grief. I mean, $37.5 million?
I mean, get paper, dude. I'm just saying.
Congrats,
Carlos, man.
I will never, you know, crap on a player for going out and getting his money. Especially at the end of his career. Why not?
We should definitely crap on China, though, for their ridiculously overinflating their soccer bubble right now. Because bubble eventually is going to burst, where it's like, I mean, it's great that you guys have, like, tons of players in this league, but nobody watches your league internationally, and all your domestic players are terrible.
They're the worldwide equivalent of what Man City was to the Premier League when they first got that chic money, and, like, they were just spending really stupid money just to get high-profile players, just to build that interest in their club. They started to be a lot more smart with the way they spend their money. But in the beginning, they were just doling out cash in really dumb quantities to just get big names to come play for them. And that's what China's doing right now. And it is it's unfortunate because, you know, a lot of players, this will affect MLS probably more than any other league around the world. Maybe some of the South American leagues as well, and the Mexican league. But
the players like Messi or Ronaldo Messi, who eventually has said that he wants to go back to Newell's and play there. I mean, if China comes around and says, look, $70 million a season, take it. You don't think you take that money?
Of course. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, if Lionel Messi was.
I mean, that's just an example.
In China. Well, I'm just saying, if he was contacted by someone in China right now, I mean, they would probably pay him like $75 million a year right now.
The bigger issue is what that does to all the other players, not at his level, but you know what I mean. The guys that eventually want to go back home to finish their careers in whatever country they're from, or in whatever league they started in, or for whatever. Yeah, you get the gist.
Of course,
China comes calling, and that conversation then changes, and that is going to be unfortunate because you don't have those, you know, welcome back home stories like you would in most cases. Now, Tevez obviously going from Argentina to China, it's a different situation, but you know, the same thing still applies. You know, chances are he wanted to finish out his career there. China comes calling, knowing he's got some kind of name recognition, and boom, there you go. Now,
there's nothing that says, though, that these guys couldn't say, I'm going to get paid this money for 2 years. And then, so basically the only thing that China is delaying is when I finish my career in Argentina. It's not like actually dictating that I don't finish my career in China and Argentina, you know?
But where this hurts is in the case of Atlanta United, where, I mean, they were going off after Oscar Romero, and China comes in and gives them or offers them some, you know, stupid money, just like they offered Tevez. And, I forget, what was it, like four times the original? Let me just read it. Atlanta United's $8.5 million transfer bid for Paraguayan striker Oscar Romero is dead, with sources confirming to Goal USA that Romero has passed on an MLS move in favor of a more lucrative transfer to Chinese club Shanghai SAIPG. What does that mean? SAIPG. Anyways, Atlanta's bid was a sizable one by MLS standards, but Shanghai dwarfed Atlanta's bid with a $14.5 million, I assume, because it doesn't have it on here, sale price combined with a player salary component equivalent to three times what Atlanta was going to pay the 24-year-old striker.
Golly, man. Like,
three times.
I mean, you've got China in the league. I assume that somebody's job with the Chinese league or some of these teams is just to scour Twitter and look up rumors of players going somewhere, and they can be like, we're going to hijack this one, and we're going to hijack this one. And, oh, Atlanta United's interested in Oscar Romero and maybe even Carlos Tevez. Nope, we're going to pay them triple what Atlanta was going to pay them. Like, so, I mean, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, they have that just stupid amounts of money that they're going to be able to do this. So it's going to change the way that at least I think Atlanta United thought they were going to be able to do business. Now it's just,
ooh, I don't.
China's not gonna vacuum up every player, but you know, some you're gonna have to kind of go back to the drawing board. Sometimes.
Here's why I don't think it changes anything for Atlanta United, because Tata.
Well, it just did though.
It did for one player, and a player that was sought after. And I think at this point Tata's just moving down the list. Of the next great player. That's all I'm saying. And they're not worried. Sure, they wanted Oscar. I'm sure he would have been an amazing pickup, and he would have done amazing things in MLS. I'm not denying the loss that Atlanta United has gone through right now. But Tata's just moving down that list. This changes nothing for them, other than the fact that they've got to use whatever money they were going to pay him on someone else, and you know, try to find that same quality or that same fit that would have been filled by Romero.
But you're thinking in the short term. I'm thinking more in the long term about how this affects, because as more and more players start to realize that, hey, China is really serious about throwing around these ridiculous amounts of money, I think long term this is going to be something that MLS in particular is going to have to deal with.
No, that I absolutely agree with you. I think MLS is at a point where if something like this keeps happening, to where MLS teams are going after guys that are then, you know, hijacked by China, then sure, I think conversations need to happen about either cap restrictions or whatever mechanisms in acquiring these guys that need to be, you know, either revised or whatever. But I don't think anyone's going to say Oscar Romero was worth three times what Atlanta United is going to pay him.
See, I actually disagree a little bit here, only because you're all assuming that this spending pattern by China can go on indefinitely, and I don't think that's possible. Like, I think China right now, like you have to think about what China's end game is for all this, and if their end game is just to get like lucrative TV deals into the international market, I guess that buying up all these big name players is going to eventually do that. But to me, it's like nobody that I know of is turning on NBCSN in the morning, waking up at like 4 a.m. to watch like Shanghai SIPG play like, I don't know, any other Chinese soccer team, right?
I'd watch them on a replay.
Yeah, right. Like there's no, like nobody, like that end game is a whole different kind of story. Now, if your end game is to like boost China's domestic product off soccer, like to get more Chinese people to be curious and care about soccer, then you're doing great. That's great. I hope you make enough money. I don't know how you do that, but maybe you do. And obviously, if their goal is to build like their domestic player base up to where they qualify for a World Cup, this is definitely not the way to do it. In fact, like you're almost.
I don't think they really care about that.
Yeah, and like if you don't care about that, then you know, I guess this is the best strategy they can do. But like, it seems to me that the end game would be spend a lot of money now, get really good players in, and then eventually the world will take notice of China. And once they've done that, and we get the TV deals, stop doing that and like pay people regular money.
It reminds me of, you know, the old school NASL days where they just spent a ton of money and look what ended up happening. But I mean, I don't think it's a big deal in the short term. Yeah.
Yeah, long term, I think the bubble's going to burst, though.
Yeah,
and then China's going to realize, like, you know, nobody else in the world cares about us because we don't have a history with the sport.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think with Atlanta United, you've just got to kind of bite the bullet on this one and hope that there isn't, like I said, that person scouring the Twitter again and just being like, ooh, Atlanta United's going after this guy, let's get him too. You know what I mean? So let's just hope that whoever is next on the list, Tata's list, if you will, that they will end up coming to Atlanta United. Yeah, Tata's list. You know, he's making a list and checking it twice. You know, he's going to find out who's going to China and who's not. But
that should have rhymed, and it did not.
Nope.
It did not. I had to keep going with it. I realized it wasn't going to rhyme.
I like the commitment, though. I like the commitment.
Watch out. We appreciate that.
Yeah, and it looks like the next guy on the list, or at least one of the guys on the list, is Yamil Assad.
Ooh, look at that segue.
Kaboom.
That's why I get paid the big bucks, man.
That's beautiful. That's what that is.
You get paid?
But, yes. Well, maybe not for this. Yamil Assad is a player who currently plays for Vélez Sarsfield in the Argentina Primera Division. So what do you know, going back to South America and
going back to Argentina specifically.
All right. But I mean, I guess I was thinking in terms of, some Paraguayan or Argentinian players, but yeah, that you make a great point there. Going back to Argentina specifically, the Argentinian league. And I think not knowing too much about Assad, other than watching some clips of him on YouTube, he looks like a very skilled player, maybe not the most composed finisher, but a guy who I saw with some nice crosses, very good skill on the ball, and a guy that just seems to kind of fit the whole Tata Martino philosophy.
I only saw a few highlights, but of the highlights I did see, it just seems like this guy wants to show you what he can do with like the right joystick button. He just all day just move. And I didn't see him as a quality finisher, though. That's the one thing that seemed to be lacking out of his highlight video, which if it's a highlight video, it should be showing your best stuff, which I assume this is his best stuff. And if he is having a hard time finishing in his best stuff, then that's the only thing I'd be concerned with. But I also don't know how specifically he'd fit in Tata's system. Not saying that he wouldn't. I just haven't dove that deep into it yet. In terms of how you might fit Tata's system, playing either one of the wings, it just seems like that might be the natural fit, and maybe not so much a goal scorer as a creator.
He appears to be the kind of guy who at least could move over to the left side or play attacking mid. So pretty similar to what you were going to get out of Oscar Romero. And this is just going off like his transfer market profile, where they've just accrued up the performance data from like which positions he has played in the past. But if he's playing attacking mid, then maybe you're assuming that Almiron is going to move out to the left again and start there, or maybe they're going to rotate, or maybe you know, two attacking are both going to be in the middle, and we're just going to do what those guys appear to do best, just give them the ball in space and let them stunt on people. But I think the description is pretty fitting. He does seem like the kind of guy that you're just going to give the ball to, and he's going to dribble like six or seven times and either do something amazing or give the ball away.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of fun seeing how these guys. I mean, we look at Nicolas Lodero, and he's the one that we kind of point to because he is the guy that made the transition to MLS and has shined. I know he's from Uruguay, but I'm pretty sure he played in the. Yeah, he played in Argentina. Seeing that transition and seeing how well he takes on defenders, and to know that we have three of the guys that aren't the same players, but they do come from the same league and they do have that sort of same skill set that Nicolas Lodero has in terms of their touch on the ball, their timing, their passing, their shooting, all that stuff. And it'll be fun to see how presumably those three guys, assuming Assad is signed or loaned. Because I think it is a loan. We wouldn't be signing him permanently. It is a loan with the option to buy. Being able to see how those three guys work in the midfield, or in an attacking in with their attacking presence, it'll be fun to watch, especially in MLS where those defensive guys aren't too good on the ball and lose it easily, and that's just kind of way MLS is, especially on defense. How many crazy goals do you see? And I can only imagine what. Guys like Villalba and Almiron and assuming Assad will be able to do in those situations.
Yeah, so there's another guy that Atlanta United seem to be interested in. So once again, let's just hope China isn't listening to this or hacking into our
He doesn't have that have that name recognition, man. They don't want him.
Maybe not. But I'm not saying that Oscar Romero wasn't a bigger name, but not in something that. Anybody's necessarily going super crazy about, but hopefully Assad, if he does come into Atlanta, hopefully he can contribute and be a very good player for Atlanta. And then we'll see what happens from that. Another guy that Atlanta United has signed now is Jacob Peterson, who is an MLS guy, most recently playing with Sporting Kansas City in 108 appearances for that club. He scored 13 goals. So I don't know if that necessarily seems like a huge return or not, but this is a guy who has scored goals in MLS and knows how to score in that league.
Well, he's clear. I mean, he's clearly a depth guy, at least in my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't think he's starting. I don't think anyone who – I think the thing I like about him is that he was – it's almost not to the extent that Villalba was kind of beloved when he left, or all the good things we saw on social media and whatnot when he left. They've kind of done the same thing in Kansas City. So I wonder, having a guy like that, a guy that you know, a good, what I assume is a good locker room guy or a good just – it's just a quality depth piece. And you're going to need that, especially with a guy like Kenwin who's a little older, who maybe will be prone to injury a little more than the rest of the guys on the field. You never know when he might have to come in to do a spot start. And, you know, it'd be good to have someone like him with MLS experience and all that we've said 300 million times before.
Yeah, it's like you said with the rest of us, you know, I got a bad hammy, so hopefully Jacob Peterson can, provide that depth like you said. But no, I totally agree with you. With a guy like Kenwin Jones, you do need cover. And I think as this team continues to materialize, we will see more and more players like that.
He really does kind of remind me of Alan Gordon, though.
I was about to say he appears to be a Viking version of Alan Gordon.
Yeah.
Well, his nickname is The Answer, which is also Allen Iverson's nickname. So I find that to be a weird little correlation there. Maybe he can cross up defenders like Allen Iverson used to on the basketball court for it.
Yeah, how on earth did that happen? Because he's like a big dude who does not dribble the ball.
It just says during the article I'm reading says during his time with Sporting Kansas City, he became known for his hard work and versatility, garnering the nickname The Answer for his ability to fill in at multiple positions.
He's the workhorse, man. He's the workhorse.
There you go. That's what you got there with Jacob Peterson. All right, on the other side, we are going to come back, and we've got a couple of topics to get to, including the odds of your Atlanta United Football Club winning MLS Cup next year. And a little bit of a controversial topic involving fans and one thing that is a part of soccer fan culture that I personally don't like. We'll get Eric and Jason's opinions on that as well. And possibly an idea of how you're going to watch Atlanta United on TV. So we'll get to that stuff coming up next here on the Mouths of the South podcast. Mouths of the South podcast, DirtySouthSoccer.com. Don't forget all the different areas you can find us at MOTS Podcast on Twitter. You can also go to Mouths of the South Podcast on Facebook. We are, of course, on DirtySouthSoccer.com. The Twitter handle there, at DirtySouthSoc, that's SOC. And individually, I'm at Sam J. Franco. You can follow Eric at Eric G. Quintana and Jason at Jason is a Smith. All right, the odds, according to Bovada, for Atlanta United to win MLS Cup in their inaugural season have been set at 100-1.
I'm putting down $50.
I was going to say, man, I don't have any problem putting money down on that. I mean, Atlanta United's done everything else well. Why would it shock us if they went in and won MLS Cup in their first season?
If we had signed Oscar Romero, I absolutely would be in with you guys. Now I'm cautious. I've had my hope deferred.
Was he the missing piece?
Yeah, it's like he could have been the thing to make the whole thing.
Jason's just mad that his prediction isn't going to come true now.
Look, here's,
I'm really mad.
Here's the thing with me. I'll put down $100 on these odds because in a year I won't care about those $100. I will care about the $10,000 that I'll be shoveling into my bank account when Atlanta United wins MLS Cup.
I like that. I like your confidence there. That is that is what you have to go into these kind of bets with. So. I think that it's not a terrible bet. I mean, obviously, we've been talking about it. You could make much worse bets than that, especially with all the good stuff that Atlanta United has done here over the past few days and few weeks and few months and few years. I mean, I think that that's obviously been a big deal. And I think that Atlanta United have the best manager in the league already. So I think that they'll at least be a lot more competitive than some people think, and I think 100-1 odds is definitely if you are a gambling person, that's a good thing to go after. And
I haven't read the rest of the odds, but it certainly seems like that would be the best flyer to take.
Well,
you know, you play chalk with one of the favorites, but also like if you want a long shot, yeah, that's going to make you big money, like it seems like Atlanta United's a pretty good bet on that.
Well, Chicago and Minnesota United are also 100-1, and if you had to, I mean, I think anyone, you ask them, hey, anyone that knows MLS and knows what's going on and is relatively informed, you ask them who they put money on of the three, and I think everyone, 99% across the board, Atlanta United. There's no way, even with half a team. There's no way they're picking Chicago or Minnesota over Atlanta United. I'm telling you, $100. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm not going to advise anyone to gamble, but this would be the gamble I would take, and that I am.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a safer bet than some of the other teams in MLS for sure. Odds are, though, that our next topic is going to ruffle some feathers in terms of maybe some of the fan supporters groups. And I, of course, I'm talking about smoke bombs. And that is a topic that obviously is a big one in the soccer fan community around the world. I, for one, I hate that stuff, man. Like, I think it does not, A, yield to a family-friendly atmosphere, and B, I think it's unnecessary, personally. I mean, you can be loud and support your team and not have to have ridiculous smoke bombs going off. I'm just not a fan, never have been a fan. And I think that smoke, you know, it's also kind of a slippery slope. It's like the gateway thing, you know. It's like you start with smoke bombs, and then you get to flares, and then you get to other stuff, and then it just kind of escalates from there. So,
wait, what is the other stuff past literal bombs, like literal fire sticks thrown everywhere? What is the other stuff past flares you're talking about?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, flares, and then you go from flares to Mean Street Hooligans, and then
crack cocaine to marijuana.
That's what I'm saying. Like smoke bombs are like the marijuana of soccer fandom. It's the gateway. Mm-hmm. To other things. I'm just not a fan. I don't like it. I think, quite frankly, it's stupid. But, you know, that's just me.
Well, this kind of came up. I was the one that kind of brought this to the attention of you guys, and it came to my attention because there were a couple conversations on Facebook on, like, I don't know if it was the Terminus Legion Facebook page or the Atlanta United Facebook page, one of the two. And they were talking about whether we'd be allowed as fans to use them inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I think you'd have more leeway with Bobby Dodd, although you'd have to check what the rules specific to Bobby Dodd are in regards to smoke bombs and such.
I mean, Georgia Tech fans aren't setting off smoke bombs for their home game?
I guess not. I mean, they'd have to have a reason, so.
Oh!
No, but
hey, I can't talk. They came into Athens and won for the second straight time in Athens, so I can't talk.
But MLS doesn't have a specific rule about smoke bombs, and I think it's generally accepted that it's left up to the stadium itself. So I think the big issue is when it comes to smoke bombs and how it's portrayed. There was an incident last year with a DC United fan who I think got a lifetime ban or maybe a year ban. Unleashing a smoke bomb inside of RFK Stadium, and he got kicked out, got banned, became news around the soccer community, and so that sort of became a thing. And then you started to see, I don't know if it was DC United specifically, but teams on MLS, you know, branded stuff, either social media or the website itself, you'd have it honestly just looked like MLS was advertising smoke bombs in their pictures and stuff like that. Which I don't know if that was or wasn't the case, but they did use pictures with smoke bombs and stuff that they were, you know, if they were promoting a game or if they were just throwing something out there because it's a cool pic. I don't know, but because they were doing that, it looked contradictory to what was happening to this guy, and so it was kind of left under the radar that these are rules set by the stadium, not so much the league. So I did some looking, some research, and the George Dome doesn't allow fireworks. I think this can be considered a firework. So I know that there hasn't been any since in any match I've been in, and I can't imagine anything's going to change in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So I got to think that they're not going to be allowed inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And I think because of the college campus and because you're dealing with typically dealing with 18 to 22 year olds, you're definitely not going to be allowed to have him at Bobby Dodd.
Well, like, here's my thing real quick on Spotify. Like, why does it have to be a thing? Like, just because, like, some other soccer fans and clubs around the world do it, why do we have to do it? Like, why does Atlanta United have to do smoke bombs? Like, why does that have to be? I don't understand why it's a thing, quite frankly, and I don't understand why it needs to be that. I think it's stupid. Like, cheer for your team, drum, chant, whatever. What the hell does smoke bombs need to be a thing for?
I think it's pretty cool. I think it looks cool on TV.
But, I mean, I think it does, but I think, like, actual in the like ontological and metaphysical sense, it is crotch stuffing for soccer fans.
Yeah.
It is. We want to look like we are, we want to look like we're, you know, super green street hooligan, hella OG soccer fans who've been to, like, you know, we came up from the streets of Juventus or something.
That's what I'm saying. And, it's poser. It's super poser.
Yeah.
It's not necessary.
And I don't mean to, like, call out some MPSL, like, you know, USL franchises, but, like, this is the sort of thing that, like, Chattanooga FC or, like, Detroit City FC would use as, like, a criterion for how hard they are and how they ought to be in MLS. And it's right. Like, that's not how this works.
No, I that's the thing. It's like, it seems more than anything, like, if you're coming to the game, you bring a bunch of smoke bombs and stuff. It's like, man, I watched a Napoli match on YouTube the other day, and man, those fans are real hard. You know, it's like,
look, if you're not at, like, a Serbian derby, you have no business doing this.
Like, I'm saying, it's like, yeah, I watched a Lazio match the other day, and the fascist fans of that team are super intense, and I want to be like that. It's like, dude, it's unnecessary.
I mean, know what I'd rather see you invest in? Come up with a bomb ass TIFO, and we can talk. Like, that is the thing that gets on TV. They get you the retweets. Just having, like, a bunch of random colored smoke in the stands just tells me that you're kind of awful, usually. I mean, you're probably great people. I'm not saying you're bad, but, like, it annoys me to see that, like, you knew that this looked good on TV and we're like, we're going to do this because it looks cool on TV.
I don't see it very often anymore, at least in MLS. I think Portland does something. I forget who else.
Orlando does it a lot, too, don't they?
I think Orlando does a purple one. I forget who. Someone does a white one, maybe a gray one, and it always fogs up the screen. I forget what team.
That's what I'm saying.
But I don't have a problem with him. I mean, I don't want to be in the middle of. I don't want to be right in front of the guy that's unleashing this thing. But at the same time, I do understand the appeal. I do understand the fanship, if you will, in having one and doing it and all that stuff. Although I don't think there's any way Mercedes-Benz Stadium allows that, and I definitely don't think Bobby Dodd will allow it. I could be wrong, but I don't see it happening. I do think that these days, smoke bombs are typically used to cover up the empty seats in the stands. And I'm looking at you, NPSL. I'm looking at you, USL. I'm looking at you, NASL. I'm looking at you, Atlanta Silverbacks. That's specifically who I'm looking at.
That's hilarious.
Every picture is every picture is a sea of red smoke, and you can see that there are four people in the stands.
It's, all of Section D is covered in fog. Man, there must be tons of people in there.
Nope.
That's outstanding. That is a great call on your part. But yeah, I just personally, I think it's unnecessary, and I think it's mad poserish. But you know, if you want to do it, so be it. And good luck, you know, explaining to your friends or whatever why you're not going to games anymore when they kick you out. So
I will just say it was the conversation was more, will they allow us? And I think not. And if you are, just know that no one's as hard. Not everyone is as hardcore as you are. So just think
know that it doesn't make you hardcore. That
yeah, just make sure. I mean, I like them. Don't get me wrong. I also enjoy everyone else being, you know, not secondhand smoked.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's funny. Like when I was at the World Cup in 2006. They made a big deal outside of all sides saying this has nothing to do with smoke bombs. That's to do with smoking cigarettes. And they were like, hey, no smoking in the stadiums or whatever. But this is Europe. So you think you're going to tell a bunch of Europeans not to smoke wherever they want to? Which, no. If you've ever been to Europe, you know that people smoke all over the place. It's just something that happens. And I remember we were at one of the games, and there were these two guys smoking cigarettes behind us in the stands. And my dad was like, I'm going to go tell them. I'm like, Dad, please don't do that. Like, I mean,
you don't want to be that guy either.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, it's just one of those things where why would you intentionally do something that you know is going to make other people mad? Like, not everybody is into it. And so, you know, if you've paid your good hard-earned money for a season ticket and you don't want to be bathed in smoke, like, why should you have to be? You know what I mean?
Well, so, I mean, I will say that if they're in the supporter section, that is part of the supporter section culture.
Yeah. Most people who are paying for that section probably want that.
The people, know? Exactly. The people that aren't going to be like, no, please, no smoke bombs. They're not going to be in that section anyway, so it's really not going to affect them as badly as it would people in that section. And they're paying for that experience.
Folks stay in the supporter section. It's not like, you know, you can have like this vacuum.
In a dome, I would be on your side. If it's if the roof is open, I'm all for smoke bombs then.
No, that makes one of us. I think the other two of us are a lot more rational about the smoke bomb argument. But anyway,
I'm rational.
Just if you decide to do it at your own peril. That's all I'm saying.
And we will make fun of you a little bit.
Yeah,
that's the thing. I mean, the mouths of the South, at least two of us will make fun of you because we don't think you're that hardcore. All right. Last but not least today, we got some listener emails to get to, or one in particular about how we're going to be watching the games. Right, Eric?
Yeah. So Francisco Viquez, sorry if I mispronounce your name, but it's one I've never seen before. Hey guys, sending a shout out from Aiken, South Carolina, close to Augusta, Georgia. Hoping that the TV deal is done with a regional broadcaster. Hopefully a deal can be done with Fox Sports South, since it would make it possible to catch the away games. I have had MLS Live for the past 3 years since I've been without a team to really follow until now. Any insight in that deal becoming a possibility? Could you guys maybe go into the pros and cons between a local Atlanta network or a regional network? Merry Christmas.
I can hit the con real quick. For me in Nashville, the con of it being a local deal is I literally can't watch this team on TV. So I'm really hoping that it's not a local deal, or at least it includes some sort of like Fox Sports South component, because I want to be able to watch my team apart from MLS Live. And like you, I will be stuck getting a subscription every year unless they syndicate it a little bit more broadly than just Georgia.
Well, let me give you some of the kind of the genesis of how this kind of came about, outside of the fact that we need a TV partnership or at least some kind of streaming thing. Sporting Kansas City announced that they've reached a TV agreement with Fox Sports Midwest, which includes Missouri, Iowa, cities of St. Louis, Des Moines, Springfield, Columbia markets, and of course that whole Kansas, Nebraska, Western Missouri region. That's huge for literally the reason you just mentioned. And it is exactly what we want in Atlanta. On top of that, they're going to have a 30-minute pregame, a 30-minute postgame that'll surround all the Sporting KC broadcasts. And, that is exactly what we want in Atlanta. And I actually reached out to someone with Atlanta United today. They said the deal is still – it's still in the works, I think is what he said. And
well, it's interesting that you say that about a deal possibly being in the works because Fox Sports South had a very interesting tweet about this, and this actually came down earlier today at 12:34 p.m. They tweeted, "Mark your calendars. Atlanta United's inaugural home opener March 5th against the New York Red Bulls." And then they have an article that you can, you know, click on and go into further detail where they're just basically explaining that the league or Atlanta will kick off their season on March 5th. So kind of interesting that Fox Sports South would have tweeted that out, no?
Oh, to me, the conversation is over. Fox Sports South is going to be the TV deal. To me, the conversation is over. I don't think they had not tweeted anything about Atlanta United until today, and it just so happens that it's the first game of the season. It's the first game at home. Chances are it's going to be on Fox Sports 1. But it's never too early to promote something you're going to be showing on your network of stations.
The great thing that does as well, if that is indeed the case, that the deal is done and we're going to be syndicated on Fox Sports.
I don't know if the deal is done. I just know that, in my opinion, because they tweeted that out, it's still in progress, I'm sure, or it's pretty much done.
Yeah, I got you. If it falls through, I'm blaming you. Like everybody's blaming me on us. It's fine. But if that really is the case. An example scenario I'd give you is that had Orlando done something like that, in Nashville, I get Fox Sports South. I probably would have followed Orlando like throughout the year just to watch an MLS side that I can watch with consistency, that I'm not subject to like ESPN or Fox Sports flexing right. certain matches, which basically just means you're watching NYCFC all the time. You know, no offense to them. They're really fun to watch because it's Yankee Stadium and you score a ton of goals. But I would have followed a team from the South to sort of get a consistent seasonal arc. But they didn't do that. They're syndicated locally, and so I can't watch them. Whereas if Atlanta United does that, then you're talking about fans in Birmingham, fans in Auburn, in Tuscaloosa, in Aiken, in Charleston, where I'm at now. All of those fans now can watch Atlanta United. And then Atlanta United becomes, as we've been saying they should become, the MLS team of the South.
See, I don't think there's any – I think that's the reason you have to have them. I think the length of that deal of – whenever it becomes available, whenever it becomes public knowledge, or God forbid, honestly, that it's not Fox Sports, but the number of years that deal is for is going to be important, because it's going to let you know how invested Fox Sports is in Atlanta United, in soccer in the Southeast, in really promoting. If it's basically what I want to get at is, if it's a 1 or 2 year deal, that means they're just going to put on the games. If it's a 8, 9, 10 year deal or anything like a long term deal, then they're looking at doing a lot of stuff they do with maybe the Braves in terms of the what is that Driven series they do. Maybe they do more behind the scenes stuff.
Well, they've got to have a lot of that stuff for the Braves because of rain delays. I mean,
I get that, but they also are invested in that club. They don't have to have that same investment. I mean, how easy would it be for them to just while we're waiting, we're going to take you to NASCAR or something, whatever
yeah,
else it happens to be on.
I don't necessarily think it's going to be that long of a deal right off the bat, is because the Braves, the Hawks, the Falcons is different because that's a national TV deal with Fox, but the Braves and Hawks are proven TV commodities and ratings getters in the city of Atlanta, whereas Atlanta United, there's still a little bit of uncertainty as to how they're going to be watched on TV. So I don't necessarily think it's going to be a super long-term deal right off the bat. And that's where the fans watching the games come in to really get the TV numbers up, so Fox continues to invest into it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of possibilities with this too, because you can look at that situation and say, okay, well, Fox Sports is going to buy all of the Atlanta United games. However that works, I'm not in the TV business. I don't know. They're going to buy the entire package, and then part of that package they're going to package off to another channel. That could easily be done with someone like Peachtree TV. And they would, I guarantee you, be more than willing to show all the games. Or all the games that Fox Sports can't. Something like that.
Yeah, no,
something like that.
That'd be an ideal situation.
Yeah, something like that is more, I think, more likely going to happen than just a straight up, we're going to partner up with Fox Sports. But I also wonder, and I haven't done this research, but I also wonder how much programming Fox Sports Kansas City has that isn't soccer, or I wonder how much stuff they had to move around in order to make that happen, because they're going to show
all
their
thing. They've got a lot of teams. I mean,
exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Area.
And it's not just, it's, they've got one NFL team. Well, I don't know. Yeah, never mind. That doesn't come into play, but they got a bunch of basketball teams, college basketball teams. They got a bunch of college football teams. They've got enough to keep them occupied. Now, I think at the same time, there's also a lot more local networking in the Midwest, I think. So that may make it easier, but I don't know. I would be curious to find out how Fox Sports Kansas City kind of made this happen in terms of being able to guarantee that all their games, minus the ones that are nationally televised, are going to be televised locally without any kind of runover or anything like that.
Yeah, it's definitely a problem that we're very happy to have, though, or you know, maybe not necessarily even a problem, but definitely something we're glad to be talking about, as again, 73 days
also
until Atlanta United takes the field in MLS anyway.
Sorry. Also, what is more likely? The fact that Atlanta United, who has done everything it's done so far with all the money it's spent, is going to kind of crap out and go cheap on the television, or they're going to spend big bucks on TV?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Even if the deal for TV,
I really think Atlanta United will be paying for the TV coverage.
Well, even if the TV deal right off the bat isn't necessarily like the greatest thing ever, I totally see Atlanta United doing a lot in terms of content in terms of, you know, whether it's, you know, online or whatever, I still see them doing a lot in terms of content for giving that to the fans, because they've done nothing but give you that thought that they would do that. So I think it's definitely going to be something to pay attention to going forward, to see exactly how the team is covered and exactly what type and kinds of coverage you're going to get. So we will continue to monitor all of that and keep it locked here on the Mounds of the South podcast for all of the latest. We didn't do this today, Jason. Before we get out of here, you got anything you need to tell Darren today?
Dude, get it where I can watch the games, please.
Honestly,
or something, man.
Yeah, you're not the only one. There's a bunch of us just in with Dirty South Soccer who might have that same trouble.
Yeah, like we blog via satellite, basically, and it's like I got to be able to. Hopefully, I don't have to pay a subscription to do this. I pay Comcast enough as it is. I'd like to be able to watch the games with my current service.
That's what I'm saying. When we say Dirty South Soccer, we don't just mean Atlanta. We mean the Dirty South. We're all over the place. So, yeah, it would be very nice.
Also, can I add one last thing? Sorry.
Oh, please. Go right ahead.
So I'm going to, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm going to make the flight from Atlanta to Minnesota for that second game in Atlanta United history at Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm totally
Minnesota's first home game. If anyone wants to tag along with us, let's go ahead and start setting this stuff up now. Let's start making moves. So we can all go together, and we can make this a mouthy trip. MOTS podcast.
Like a giant party bus? No, I'm just kidding.
Not a party bus. I'm definitely freaking flying. There's no way we're taking a party bus. But yeah, I mean, you know, we'll coordinate all the hotel rooms and stuff like that. We'll get that all sorted out. So if anyone wants to do that, reach out to us. If there's no interest, then we obviously won't do it, and I'll just go by myself, or I'll go with Sam, which is probably worse, but. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Definitely worse.
That's great.
But yeah, no. Mouthy Airways. We'll get that going.
If you guys want to make that happen, let's make that happen. Patreon.
Get in touch with us. You know, motspodcast@gmail.com or you know, on our Facebook, Twitter accounts, whatever. And yeah, get in touch with us about that. And we would love to. We'd love to have a caravan going up there, but not actually a van, because again, yeah, you don't want to make that drive.
Maybe if we get enough money, we can give Arthur Blank a nice big check, and he can, transport us on his aeroplane.
Yeah, I strongly doubt he would do that.
I'm just saying, maybe.
Tell Darren what to do. Darren, hook us up. Put him on the private jet, man. It's not going to be me because I have a baby, but everybody else should definitely get on the jet.
Yeah, private jet the Mouthies up to Minnesota for game number two of the Atlanta United season. From all of us here at the Mouths of the South and Dirty South Soccer, we wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, whatever holiday you may partake in, whether it's Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Christmas, Festivus, whatever. Have a happy one, you know, because that's what this time of the year is all about. And if you're out and about in Atlanta on Friday, coming up, Christmas Eve, I will definitely be at the Atlanta United store at some time, because I've got to continue to do some Christmas shopping because I have done very little of that. So those in my family will be getting some Atlanta United swag. So
you just ruined Christmas for them. So way to go.
Well, you know, I mean, they know. It's not like, you know, they would have expected really anything different. But yeah, if you're at the Atlanta United store and you see me on Friday, holler, and we will definitely be back very soon with another exciting episode of the Mouths of the South podcast. I'm Sam Franco alongside Eric Quintana and Jason Smith. And thank you guys for listening. We'll be back soon. Talk to you then.
See ya. Jason couldn't think of anything.
Oscar.